B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta in the morning.
All right, before we go any further, 9 o'clock hour brought to you by The Bagster. Dumpster to bag at yours today at Home Depot and Lowe's. For details, go to TheBagster.com. 8 o'clock hour was brought to you by Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit PAWorkInjury.com. Without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, we have Mr. Pat Egan standing by with all the takes. Patrick?
Hello.
Oh, hi, Patrick.
Hi, Pat.
Hey, buddy.
So, some good news yesterday is Oscar Lindblom completed his radiation treatment. Obviously, we know it was horrible. And back in December, he came down with bone cancer. He was diagnosed with bone cancer, yeah. And he completed
Ewing's,
his treatment.
Ewing's
sarcoma.
Sarcoma, yeah.
And he completed it yesterday. And I don't know if he's going to be able to join the team when they resume playing Toronto, but he was skating about a week or 2 weeks ago. So, great news.
Best thing I've seen probably in 2020.
Yeah. Yeah, it's some actual good news.
Credit to
right?
Flyers for tweeting out that video and sharing it with the world. For anyone who is dealing with something at all similar, to have that inspiration that Oscar Lindblom and the Flyers provided. It was, like I said, best thing I've seen in 2020.
All right, after a positive test hit the Clippers traveling party that was headed to Orlando, the team shut down their training facility. Teams are allowed to send as many as 35 people. To Disney. Is that too many?
It just seems like a lot.
35?
And are they all in one plane? Like, well, is there a better way to do this?
Yeah, who gets the Greyhound bus ticket?
Yeah, right?
Well, Kawhi is probably driving his Trailblazer. His Ford Explorer, whatever he's got.
He's probably Ubering people as he goes.
Maybe.
So every town, he picks up an Uber for a little bit, drives him to the airport, like you guys with Pittsburgh and Adam Eaton and whatnot.
That's a name you just threw out there.
No, it's a fact.
No.
Check the tape. It's a fact.
It's that you said it with no
I'm an honorary insider. I'm aware of these things.
You're an honorary cab driver insider? All right.
You guys have talked about this a little bit, but a second bubble is being discussed in Chicago for teams that wouldn't make the playoffs.
What are we doing?
We get amazing matches like Colin Sexton versus RJ Barrett.
Yeah.
Who's not going to love that?
Are the Cavs going to play the Warriors? I saw that joke being made 1,000 times on Twitter yesterday. Like, for old time's sake? No.
I mean, sign me up, right?
Why would you organize anything if you're the NBA? You're not even sure you can keep this quote-unquote bubble under wraps in Orlando.
Because there's some higher-ups, for some reason, and maybe some coaches saying, well, that's not fair. My team won't convene for, like, a year, and then you expect... I know. I'm just telling you, like, it's a competitive disadvantage to us because they're playing games and we're not.
That's the explanation. But so what?
Yeah, you should have been better that you would have been invited.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't get why they're going to Chicago. You know, you're restarting, but they didn't make the playoffs. Punish them. Send them to Shreveport, Louisiana. There's going to be less people.
North Dakota.
Send them there.
There you go.
Don't send them to a city where you can do stuff. They don't deserve to go to a city where you can do stuff.
Yeah, you know what? Go to Canada. You know, go to the Toronto. Rain on the hockey parade. Oh, you didn't like that, did you, Patrick?
No.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
Too soon. Kobe Bryant will be on the cover of NBA 2K21 for a special Mamba Forever edition of the game.
I'm
he will
in.
Join Damian Lillard, and I think there's one other guy.
I'm in. Yep, that's great. I saw that yesterday. First off, the cover looks awesome.
Yeah, it does.
And second, it's a great thing to do. It's not like, oh, it's the right thing to do, but it's like, it's just a great thing to do, and I absolutely love it. And I know I talked about this with Vince Carter, where they released the sequence of what his video game character looked like and like when they broke into the league and what it looked like in their last year.
Yeah.
Video games are just being, they were, like, I always loved video games, but like the realistic approach they have taken nowadays, like you literally have managers and players using them to learn their playbooks and different strategies.
Yeah, some very smart people too. Out in San Francisco. And one guy told me one time that the air in San Francisco just smells different. It smells smarter.
Oh, it smells like seal poop.
You got to ask Chip.
I don't know what seal poop smells like.
Yeah, San Francisco.
I've been to San Francisco.
Are you calling Chip Kelly a liar? Is that what we're doing here? All right, we're going to move on.
Well, is he not?
Speaking of poop.
Yes.
A poop fest occurred yesterday at Citizens Bank Park as 4 Phillies were placed on the injured list and no reason was given.
You can't make light of this.
I'm not making light of it.
Sorry, go ahead.
The injuries weren't supposed to be made public, but you can't put Pandora back in the box. And then Joe Girardi went out and said that there's no new injuries. He also stated that Sir Anthony Dominguez, and this continues the poop fest, was taking the DeSean Jackson route of injury.
Poop fest.
of injury rehabilitation because he hasn't had Tommy John surgery yet.
Wait a minute. I thought Sir Anthony Dominguez said, let me try the Deshaun route. All right? And then it didn't work.
Yeah, because that's totally going to work.
Yeah, and then it didn't work. And I thought he's not having the surgery.
He said he hasn't had it yet. That's why I said he's taking the Deshaun route. Hey, no time like the present. Take your time. It only takes a year to rehab from.
Whatever.
So, yeah, hey, man, I don't. Yeah.
Take your time. So yes. It was an absolute crap fest over at CBP yesterday.
Yes.
The NFL could fine players for off-the-field conduct that leads to the spread of the coronavirus.
Okay. Yeah, I'm all for that.
Yeah, I'm cool with that. Yeah, I don't know how you catch them, but...
Well, you get a snitch line.
Yeah.
You do what the NBA's got. You do the snitch
Jamie,
line.
Hit the Steven Jackson drop.
You have the...
He doesn't have it.
Steven Jackson?
Old rules, man. Snitches get stitches. This is... Why is he here?
Wait, there's no... No, hold on. Wait, you don't crap on Jamie.
I know.
Can we get...
He comes in here throwing some haymakers.
During this segment, I can.
Yourself,
he's all jacked up on Mountain Dew. He doesn't even know what he's saying.
He's all jacked up on Mountain Dew and Cocoa Puffs.
I blacked out. I don't know what happened.
All right.
And then finally, the Cubs announced that pitcher Jose Quintana suffered a hand injury while washing dishes at home.
It happens.
So I'm going to ask you guys, what's the weirdest sports injury you guys can remember hearing about?
Not personally. Okay. Weirdest sports injury.
Putting you on the spot, I realize.
The guy, who was the guy that slid into first base and broke his leg? Or slid into home plate on a celebration and broke his leg?
Kendry Morales.
Thank you.
Was it Gus Faraki himself, a concussion?
Concussion, yeah.
That was good. How about one of the kickers that jumped in the air?
Gramatica.
Martin
Gramatica. There was also a Seattle Mariner who crashed into a glass table when he woke up having a dream that he was covered in spiders.
Oh, I remember that.
And then there was another guy who had he was a pitcher, he had an injury on his finger when he cut it on a wire on a bra. That's a true story.
No, I vaguely remember that.
And Trevor Bauer had the drone injury.
And that's where I'll leave you.
Where he cut his hand on his drone.
We're done, Jamie.
Thank you, Pat.
We're done.
For leaving us.
Didn't somebody...
Never mind.
I can think of an injury. Pat, an injury you suffered when Jamie punched you in the head.
if he wants that smoke, we can do it. We'll have Twitch Ryan film it, and we can put it up on YouTube.
By the way, why did you actually post what you filmed of me before the show? It's literally me wiping down my workstation.
Well, I was expecting you to actually go into what we were talking about in the show.
That's what you did to me the other day when I was tired.
He was expecting you guys to do your jobs, right, Pat?
Exactly.
Are we not here to work?
always be ready.
Did you like the Will Ferrell movie? Did you like Eurovision?
2.5 stars.
Really
2.5 stars
right now.
I like the music better than the movie.
That's the weird. The music is purposely bad.
No, it's not. It's good.
Yeah, yeah, Ding Dong is good.
No, all the music is good. All of it.
All right, we are done here. Thank you. Thank you, Patrick.
You want that smoke too? All right, I'm out.
Yeah!
Thank you, Pat.
All right. I don't know what prompted her to call, but someone who's referring herself to as honorary mother of Mark is now my mom is taking cues from Real Prince Blue.
What a world.
This is the world we live in. Here is Eleanor Farzetta. Mom, what's on your mind today? We didn't even mention you today. What's going on?
Mark, you just mentioned the word honorary. Who else would call in for you?
I don't know. Hi.
You have wonderful callers.
Yes,
They're so insightful and funny.
Uh-huh.
So thank you to them.
Uh-huh.
And, okay, enough about the ranch dressing. Bobby, I wanted to go back to the honey.
Oh, jeez.
Yes.
Because on Jeopardy the other night, they said they put honey in King Tut's tomb. And it was still good after 3,000 years.
When they exhumed him, they took out the honey and just started having at it, huh?
You better believe it.
I love it. See, Mom's full of great stuff.
Yeah, that's true. But so, Mom, I have to ask you this. How did the honey in King Tut's tomb stay good, but the honey in your pantry since I was 6 years old have gone bad?
It hasn't.
I'm telling you, it hasn't.
It hasn't gone bad. There's no expiration date. Thank you.
Yeah, because the crust has covered it. It's really gross.
It goes back to, like, it's in the hive, and it always stays fresh in the hive. That's what it turns back into.
You're not wrong.
Caller's got a good point, Mark.
Thank you, Pat.
I also
wanted to bring up about the NBA, the North Carolina Charlotte Hornets. Their dance team are called the Honeybees, and I don't think they go bad.
Oh, yes. Mrs. F putting some stank on it.
Okay.
The Honeybees. That's great.
And then along with your with the chicken, the crispy honey glazed fried chicken is also definitely good.
Yeah, Mama Eleanor loves the bucket of chicken.
She doesn't.
Yeah, I know.
Oh yeah.
Mom, thank you. Love you.
That's it. Love you too.
Have a great weekend, Mrs. F.
Happy Fourth.
God bless America.
God bless America. Thanks, Mom. Love you too. Thank you. Appreciate it. That's my real mother, not my honorary mother.
Funny when she called, I didn't see her name at first. All I saw was honorary mother, Mark's honorary mother. And I thought, I wonder who that is. And then it said Eleanor. And I said, but isn't she his real mom? I thought we were going to have a family.
No, yeah, if you're going honorary mother, you're going to my best bud's mom's.
Right.
I'm so close with now. Those are my honorary mothers.
Right.
Eleanor doesn't need to.
Maybe there's a bigger story, Mark. You might want to check into it.
Here's what happened. My mom woke up. She probably wrote that joke, honeybees. She watched Mass on Facebook at Our Lady of Mount Carmel. And then she was like, do I call? Do I not call? My dad told her, L, don't call. And then she called.
So does she watch Mass every day?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, my mother-in-law does.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There you go. Let's go to the guy who's not my honorary mother.
Excuse me while I Google image the honeybees.
And you'll let us know.
It's work for the show.
Dan Schwartz, what's up, buddy?
Yo, what's going on?
Hey, man.
What's up, Dan?
I got so much to get to here. Okay, so as far as your mom's call concerning the honey, there's actually a show called Life After People, and it's about if you would take all the people on Earth and they just happen to disappear, what would start to happen to things? And one of the episodes is food. And honey was the item that would last the longest.
Oh, was this on the History Channel?
God, it might have been Discovery, Science.
I've seen some of the show. It's wild, yeah.
Yeah, there's one Life After People. There's another one, with scenarios with the world. You know how I am, with the world ending. Different. So I've seen all that type of stuff, but your mom is correct.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, no, I don't doubt that, but I still differ on opinion as to whether or not the honey in our cupboard has gone bad. And I think it went bad around 1989.
No, it did not.
All right.
All right. So, worst sports injury was seeing Holyfield's ear getting bitten for me.
That's a good one.
The fines with the NFL for spreading the coronavirus is kind of confusing because more than likely they would spread it to their family members. So I don't know if they'd find them for spreading it to their own family, and then how could somebody accuse an NFL player of infecting them? It's just confusing, so I don't know where they're going with that. Ranch above blue cheese all day long.
Really?
You know what?
A bearded gent such as yourself goes with the soft boy ranch as opposed to the hardcore blue cheese.
No, listen, if you go to Subway, I got this yesterday, Italian herbs and cheese bread, provolone cheese, oven roasted chicken breast, little bit of ranch, sweet onion, spinach, black olives, cucumbers, salt, pepper, oregano. I'm telling you, it's bang. Bang.
Nope, I'm good.
Toasted,
no, hold on a second. You literally just said your Subway order, it seems like. I'm not a big Subway guy anyway.
I'm not a big Subway guy, but if I go there, that's the go-to.
But hold on, but just with wings, you're going ranch over blue cheese.
Yeah, but you see my face, so if I eat wings, I don't know. I even look more like a psycho.
In case you haven't heard us describe this, Dan now looks like a... you said you look like the caddy in Happy Gilmore.
Yeah, mixed with a hobbit.
Mixed with a hobbit.
That would be accurate.
All right, Dan.
All right, I want to get into the golf point. I was going to say something about the Sixers, but I don't want to go too long here. Because Jamie and Bob were talking about the golf the other day. This is how me and TJ did. You guys know TJ. We play from the gold tees just because it's USGA and how far we hit the ball. We do one mully per nine. We do, if you swing and tip the ball and it moves like an inch, we don't charge each other unless you're around the green. You only get 5 minutes to look for your ball, but you won't be penalized if it goes out and it gets lost somewhere where it shouldn't be lost. You know what I mean? Not in the
way. Yeah, right.
You can't find it. And then, always double par max. And dude, we always, and this is so embarrassing, but we always announce the games, and we always call each other John in a British voice. I don't know where this came from. So if he makes if he misses a putt, I'll do something like, "Oh, John, look at this trash." And it goes on, and people actually hear us on the course. It's completely embarrassing, but it's what happens.
Are you having fun though,
Dan?
You
guys ever want to go golfing?
Yeah. Are you having fun though?
yeah.
That's all that matters. Great. That's all that matters.
That's all it's about. If you remember that, you'll always have fun.
All right, just John. All right, John. Thanks for the call.
All right. Have a good day, sir.
Appreciate it. Those are the things we have to default to as men when we golf.
Yeah.
If we don't do that, then we're just saying how much the game sucks, which is why we just say how much the game sucks. But yet we'll keep coming back.
I just got an invite to play golf tomorrow.
Isn't that a great feeling?
Oh,
I tried to explain to my wife that I'd never make plans to golf. I get invited to golf. That's the difference.
And then it's rude to say no.
Exactly. I don't want to be a jerk.
Yeah.
Like, you want to be like her brother just asked me to play golf. I've never golfed with my brother.
Well, if Donna's brother.
If it's a bloodline, it's a guarantee.
You can't say no to that.
You can't.
Like on Father's Day when I golf with my dad, she's like, "You're going to golf on Father's Day?"
And I was like, "Yeah, it's my day with my dad."
Yeah, with my dad. Like awesome. I tried to do every year I could get on the golf course and not hate my life when I tried to golf.
I'm kind of mad that both of you are not going to be around because I need a partner tomorrow. Like my brother-in-law beat me in golf for the first time in the 20 years that I've known him last summer. One time he's beat me, and man, has he ridden me!
Wow.
So now we're playing tomorrow at 7 a.m. And he has his son, who's a really good golfer, played in college and on, is in college.
All right.
So it's two of them. He's got me and he said, you can get a fourth.
Okay.
So I'm really thinking I need a fourth that's going to make me play my best. Like you two I love playing with, but you're both unavailable.
No, yeah. I think Jamie's always available.
And Jamie's going to be down the shore.
Jamie's wife has no rules on golf.
Oh, he can play whenever he wants.
Oh, yeah, because it's free, right?
Yeah. Every round is free.
If you get invited to play anywhere, that person invited you, it's free.
Yeah.
Because that's how it works. The miss is mine. Let's get to, this is good. Okay, another person weighing in on the wings scenario here. Leroy in Overbrook. What's up, Leroy?
Jamie, morning crew. How you doing?
Good, bud.
You're not going to disrespect the chicken. I'm African, Jamaican, and Irish. It's tomfoolery to mess with the chicken.
Wait a minute. That's your entire ethnic background?
African, Jamaican, and Irish.
Nice.
That is a healthy mix right there, my friend. So go ahead. Tell me about the chicken.
Anyway, the story of the chicken is it came around to make the men chest big and their legs little. So we can run away from crime when we commit them. You didn't know that, did you?
That was Leroy that said that and not me for anyone listening. Yeah, I just want to make sure people differentiate. But that's interesting. All right. Because, I'm just going to say the chicken cutlet is a big thing in my household.
Right. And it's the chicken breast. If you eat chicken breast, your chest going to be big. If you eat chicken feet, you'll get the chicken soup and this remedies that help you feel better.
Uh-huh.
Every different part of the chicken you're supposed to eat. Every part. We eat barbecue chicken necks at my house, and we fight over them. You understand?
Really? I have never had a barbecue chicken neck.
Well, you have to try it. It's a delicacy.
I'll try it.
Yeah. Anyway, the Sixers, they're the best team. Are the best team in the NBA. Once Embiid grows up a little bit, and I'm not worried about Ben Simmons to shoot. He don't have to shoot. He don't have to shoot at all. All you got to do is do what he keep doing. He got embarrassed when he shot a three and everybody cheered for him. So that's why he's reluctant to shoot the ball. You understand what I'm saying?
But yeah, but he was reluctant before that.
Well, he's been reluctant his whole life. He's been pampered his whole life.
Yeah, well, he shouldn't be pampered anymore. He should shoot some jump shots.
He'll shoot him when he feel like it. Anyway, we want to see the Flyers and Edmonton in the finals.
I'm
good with that.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. Absolutely. A little rematch from the Hextall days? Absolutely.
Yes, and Claude Giroux finally got some help. He got some defensive help. He ain't got to do it all by himself. I'm sorry Wayne Simmons not going to be around when we get our ring, but that's the way it goes.
Mm-hmm. No, I loved Wayne Simmons. He's one of my favorite Flyers ever, Wayne Simmons.
I was at the casino, and I had a Flyers jersey on. I was winning all his money, and I was telling everybody that was my brother. and they believed it.
Wow.
Now, I'm 5'6". 200 pounds. See, I'm stout. I'm strong like a chicken. You understand what I'm saying? I'm strong.
Like Craig Hayward.
Do you worship the chicken because of your three ethnic?
He's got a big chest and skinny legs.
The only thing I worship is the creator who created the chicken. You understand what I'm saying?
Which came first?
The creator.
I can picture you going to the pearly gates right now and being like, and the guy being like, Leroy Brown. And you're like, yep. And then you'd be like, hey, are you the guy that made the chicken? And God would be like, yes, I am. And you're like, hey, good hustle, God. Jamie, I really like the chicken.
Jamie, I was already, he told me, he said, don't forget to remind Farzetta that he owes you baseball tickets. And now he's going to give you some hockey tickets because he didn't give me the baseball.
No, I got your number. It's still in my phone, Leroy. Don't you worry. I got you.
Have a nice day, y'all.
You as well.
All right, buddy.
So I have heard this, and I don't know it to be 100% accurate in the chicken-egg debate.
Yeah.
That's as old as time.
Yes.
That there are certain proteins in the eggshell that can literally only come from the chicken.
Yes.
So therefore the chicken came first.
Yes. I always thought the chicken came first as a matter of evolution.
Just poof. Wait, a bird turned into a chicken.
What did it? Oh, okay. Is that what it evolved from?
I don't know.
Like a bird or did salamander? Something or something
else?
I
don't know.
Do you know that Kawhi Leonard eats a whole apple?
Uh-oh, here comes Egan running in.
So I believe the chicken came first, scientifically speaking.
Yeah, you would think that the chicken came first and then needed something to protect itself, and that's why the egg evolved. Thanks, Darwin, I guess. I don't know. That's a little too much.
Somebody. You know Egan didn't run in here because he had some scientific knowledge.
I thought he did. Turns out he was just late for his update.
I am an honorary Darwin person, so I know many things. I just don't want to say it right now.
Speaking of little legs. Hey, buddy.
What are you trying to say?
Oh, damn.
Wow.
Too soon? It's not too early.
So I got to side with Mark on this. Every blow to me is a low blow, but I mean, come on, man.
I don't know, you like that?
We have fun here. By the way, somebody just referenced Moises Alou's injury.
He peed on his hands.
He did pee. See, that's what
I... Natural batting gloves. Toughens you up.
He's one of my favorite baseball players ever.
Sweet swing.
Sweet swing, man. He was a 300 hitter.
Yeah.
Not a terrible on base percentage.
No.
Actually, pretty good. Like 370 he was around. Nonetheless, what was
pee on your hands, kids, if you want to play baseball.
I'm gonna YouTube Moises Alou injury and see what comes up.
Okay.
Because I don't remember a big one with him. I know he had him. I know he like missed two seasons of his career. Anyway, when we return, there's a rabbit hole of Moises Alou for no reason. All right, when we come back, we'll let you hear from Ben Simmons and his optimistic point of view for the rest of the season. Also, 9:30, bottom of the hour, Malik Rose will join us from the NBA front office. What is it, a VP of basketball operations?
That's right, yeah.
That big wig, Malik Rose.
We knew him when.
We'll talk to him bottom of the hour here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Farzetta in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' on You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
I just crushed an unhealthy amount of those chicken biscuits. Unhealthy amount, Bob.
Yeah, you did.
I ate a lot of my box yesterday.
I think I just ate the box.
I introduced it to the family last night.
Oh, really? How'd it go over?
None of them ever had it. So Donna's trying to say all snacks, but she was like, oh, not bad. And then Jen and her boyfriend were there, and I said, I'm just going to pour you a bowl because I know you're going to like it. And they smashed it.
Let me just say this there, Bobby. Whenever you've referenced your lovely daughter, Jenna.
Yeah, it's always been her
boyfriend.
I know. It's pandemic, Mark. You only can hang out with a few people, and that's the only one she can hang out with. So
he's in the family now already, isn't he?
I think we're meeting the mom. I think.
Oh!
Yeah.
The parents are meeting.
Holy
pots and pans.
I think Sunday night we're doing a dinner thing together.
You're meeting his mom.
Yeah.
Wow.
Be interesting.
Sure.
Yeah. Do I take a bottle of wine in case it's not going well and I just.
Bring a flask. on the line with us right now, we got a lot of questions about the NBA. A guy we've been a fan of for a long time here because he's a local guy done well. Overbrook High School, Drexel University, Malik Rose.
Two-time NBA champion.
That's a dad.
You know.
But what matters more, that or that he's from Philly? All right, Malik Rose is on the line with us right now. Malik, a heck of a time to get a new gig with the NBA. How you doing?
Man, thank you for having me. I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Great.
Yeah, we're hanging in there, Malik Rose. And tell us about this new gig now in the league office here. You're the new VP of basketball operations.
Yeah, I think that's just a long-winded title for me just to be able to watch basketball games for free now. it's a good spot, man. I was, I've been lucky enough, and Bobby, you know, we go back a long time, and you know, I've been lucky enough to be around the game for a long time, man. And it's just been a part of my life ever since like high school, and you know, for whatever reason, God just keeps being fit to bless me with opportunities, and this opportunity at the league is something I'm very excited about.
It is pretty wild.
And to put Malik down on, you know, like, you've earned this, Malik, and you know, he's one guy that early on when he started with the Sixers, he and I obviously traveled together when Malik was doing work with Mark Zumoff. We traveled together, and just talking to Malik, it's so much fun because you just absorb the knowledge that you've gained throughout your time in the NBA. And I got to tell you guys, going to San Antonio, you think Tim Duncan and Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili, you think those guys are revered? Walk in San Antonio with Malik Rose for a minute. That's the guy who's really revered down there. The love that they show him is amazing. But Malik, just more on this role that you have. I mean, what are you going to be doing? How's it going to be different? And, you know, I know you can't give us all the ins and outs, but like, what part of the NBA are you overseeing?
So I'm working with some great people at the NBA, and, you know, led by Adam Silver, Commissioner Silver. He's making a concerted effort to, the relationship with the players is great, and, he's trying to make the relationship or improve the relationship between the teams and the NBA, among other things. So one of my primary responsibilities, since I'm coming from the team side and I have a lot of relationships with the GMs and assistant GMs and all the decision makers for every team, is to liaise with the and other NBA teams. Both David Booth and myself will be doing that. But also the role, our immediate boss, our direct report, Mr. Byron Sproul, he's the president. He's carved out like a really, really cool, you know, role. Like, you know, we get to be like basketball advisors with all the other departments. It's like basketball analytics and strategy and refereeing, NBA Global. It's like all the tenants that make up the NBA league office and league operations, we get to have a voice and, you know, advise on those departments as well. So I'm really, really excited about it.
Now, are you going to be in Orlando, or are you in the bubble with everyone?
Not yet, but yes, I will be. I'm going to be on the Seinfeld episode, Bubble Boy or whatever. I've been dying to say that. But anyway, yeah, I'm going down to Orlando, and I'm just excited, man. You know, the game is back, and, you know, I feel very confident about the situation that the NBA has put on down there. It's like it's really, really well thought out. The NBA has tremendously intelligent people. They're putting together this bubble, and I really think it's going to be great, and we're going to be able to, you know, finish strong and crown a champion.
One of the things that you mentioned was Adam Silver. One of the first names you mentioned was Adam Silver and the great job he's doing. When we talk to reporters, national reporters, local reporters, the people that talk to the players talk about how much trust they have for Adam Silver to keep them safe throughout all of this. Do you get a sense of that in the league office?
Absolutely. I got a sense of it, you know, when I was working on the team side, and he personally called me to congratulate me when I won Exec of the Year in the G League. So I think, you know, Commissioner Stern, rest his soul, he was great in his own right. I mean, he did some great things to put the league in an amazing place and set, you know, Commissioner Silver and the rest of us up for success. But I really do think Commissioner Silver, he'll never, you know, probably take this, you know, praise or whatever, but he earned this. He earned the reputation he has, and he's worked hard for it. I mean, you remember back to when he first started. Me and you, we were doing, you know, we were working for the Sixers, and the whole Donald Sterling situation.
Yep.
And he had to come in, and, you know, the players were, you know, in a fervor there. And he came in, handled that situation from day one, and it's been nothing but great things ever since then. And he's really, really a genuine person from what I can see. You know, like, I've only been at the NBA office a couple weeks now, but like I said, even before I got to the league office, Commissioner Silver was just doing great things and being a genuine person. And I really do think that's why he has the amount of trust he has from everybody.
Speaking with Malik Rose, the new vice president of basketball operations in the NBA, as much as that trust has been from the players to Adam Silver, the trust really doesn't seem to be talked about much from players to players. That's where the trust might run thin a little bit. So what do you think players need to do inside this bubble, other than the obvious, obey the rules, to try to trust one another?
I don't think I would call it like, you know, the players don't trust one another. I mean, that brotherhood in the NBA and in all sports, that, you know, when you lace them up and you go out on the field or the ice or the arena or whatever, there is that brotherhood, and it comes with an innate trust. But I think what you're talking about is, like, you know, guys have different opinions on things, and that's healthy. I think that's good. Some guys feel, you know, more confident than others about the bubble. Some guys feel more excited about getting back to basketball than others. And that's always going to be around, and that's always going to be the case. But as far as, you know, the safety of the bubble, the safety of the situation we're going through, I feel very confident in it myself. And I really look forward, you know, I've been learning about some of the things that we're going to be doing in Orlando. And, you know, without going into it, I'm just super, super excited. And I can't wait until everyone in the, you know, the basketball world, you know, or just the world in general, sees what the NBA has in store for NBA and the players, because this has definitely been a collaborative effort. But once the world gets to see what we've been planning down in Orlando for the restart, I think everybody's going to be excited.
Malik, do you see the NBA being, in the future, affected by what happened this season, either in a good way or in a bad way?
I think the entire planet really is going to be
affected
by, you know, affected by COVID, and, you know, things are going to change. You know, some things will change more, some things won't change as much in a post-COVID world. But like I said earlier in the call, you know, the NBA has some really, really intelligent people, and what I really enjoy the most, or what I've really been pleasantly surprised by the most, is the people in the league that I've met. They have a genuine love for the game. It's very similar to the love that, you know, players have for the game. It's like, you know, a lot of players say they'll play this game for nothing, and I do believe that. But meeting a lot of people on the NBA side this last couple of weeks, I feel like a lot of people have the same love for the game, and that's what excites me to, you know, get on these Zoom calls every day. I can't say going to the office, but get on these Zoom calls every day.
Malik, you had a long and successful career as a player in the league. And you got into the G League and won Executive of the Year. You've you know, made the advancements that you have going to a couple different teams and now in the front office. What have you learned differently about being in the league as an executive as opposed to being in the league as a player that maybe surprised you a little bit?
I think, you know, Bobby, I think we might have talked about this at one point before. But, okay, when you're a player, it's always been, you know, like just basketball. All you want to do is show up and play and then go live your life, do whatever you want to do, right? But then when I came from the player to the team side, I was amazed at the amount of work that went into just one move. You know, like, you know, something as simple as signing a 10-day contract. There were a lot of people involved, a lot of checks and balances, and a lot of things went into signing. So, not even like a multi-million-dollar deal, just a 10-day contract. So far, my, you know, first couple of weeks with the league, it's kind of been the same eye-opening experience, man. I mean, we're talking about putting on a bubble in a, you know, in the middle of a pandemic. And the amount of work that these guys are doing is amazing. I mean, it's really amazing. But the thing that really blows my mind is how seamlessly and efficiently, like all those departments I named earlier, you know, like the referees, analytics, strategy, gameplay, NBA Global, social responsibility, especially right now. So those are all different departments. And watching those guys work together under the leadership of guys like, you know, my boss, Byron Sproul, Mark Tatum, and Adam Silver, it's been amazing because, you know, we've had a lot of departments on the team side where I'm coming from. And I think if we work as efficiently as some people in the league, we might have had a couple of championships in the last couple of years.
Speaking with Malik Rose, Malik, the other part is, I know that you're very confident, you sound very confident, and I'm sure a lot of the people that you work with are very confident about being able to pull this off. What does it mean to you to hear a guy like Dr. Anthony Fauci say, I think the NBA's done a good job here?
It's great. I mean, this is the one of the foremost, if not the most foremost expert on the whole you know, global pandemic. Why do I keep tripping over that word? The infectious disease guru of the nation. And when he, I think he's been involved. I know the powers that be at the NBA have talked to him and consulted with a lot of different infectious disease and medical professionals. And the plan that we're putting forth in Orlando, I'm very confident it's the best plan possible. And I do think other leagues will probably, you know, try to follow suit and, you know, take notes on a few of the things the NBA is doing.
Now, I know some things are being reported about Chicago. I don't know what you can say about it. Does it look like there will be a bubble 2.0 in Chicago?
There are a lot of things that are on the table right now. And that, like I said, there are so many moving parts to this. And one thing the NBA is
is very, very passionate about is everybody, you know, like the competitive, everybody having a competitive advantage, or no one having more of a competitive advantage than everyone else. Everybody getting a fair shot to run their programs, develop their players, and, you know, chase the championship, that elusive championship. So we at the NBA, we're talking about a lot of different things. You know, a lot of different venues have come up. Chicago is one of them, but there are other things that, you know, are on the table, and nothing's been decided yet. But a lot of smart people are working very, very hard to put the NBA in the best position possible.
I'm sure. As part of that, can you confirm or deny whether or not there'll actually be a snitch line in Orlando for them players breaking? Just a little snitch line where players rat out each other. No big deal.
I don't know if it's called the snitch line.
It's the information line.
Let's just say everything is in place. The NBA has put a lot of things in place. Seriously. Like, you know, everything has been put in place to keep players safe. Keep players, their employees, all the Disney employees. You want to make the safest bubble and the safest possible.
Right.
And, you know, we don't have anything called a snitch line or whatever, but there's a lot of effort and energy going into keeping everybody safe. And that's what makes me so confident about leaving my family, going down there, and doing my job.
I'm sorry. I believe the full terminology is the snitches get stitches line. I shortened it. I just shortened it for a second. Yeah.
Man, you guys been watching too much of The Wire.
Hey, Leek, what kind of basketball do you think we're going to see down there in Orlando? It's a totally different situation, something that players, even yourself that were in the league for a long time, can't be used to. But what kind of effect do you think it'll have on the actual games?
Man, I think that's a great question. Like, I honestly can't say because, you know, I'm not the guy that's been training and working out. But one thing I can say is we have the best athletes in the world. These guys are, you see them on a night in, night out basis. Under normal circumstances, they do some great things on the court. I'm willing to bet just on the caliber of athlete, the caliber of people, and the caliber of professionals that they are, we're going to be okay. I think we're going to see a great, great level of basketball from the players. But the league is also doing some great things as far as, you know, unfortunately, we're not going to be able to have fans in the stands just with the whole, you know, COVID thing. But there are some guys that came up with ideas for different camera angles and different types of in-arena experiences for the viewers. And I really think the viewers are going to think they're really cool, get a kick out of them because they are innovative and fresh. So it'll definitely make this tough situation we're in more enjoyable to the viewers.
Two quick ones for you, Malik. You've had like a pretty awesome basketball career. I mean, the championships, obviously, but also getting a chance to play in four major U.S. cities, being in the front office, being a commentator. I think you also was, besides the Sixers, it was also the Knicks, right?
Yeah, I first started with the Knicks. Mike Green, my good friend of mine, like when I was playing with the Knicks or when I was sitting the bench with the Knicks, however you want to look at it. you know, he helped me make a demo reel. He got me introduced to television, and it was that demo reel that I made with Mike Green that got me my first job working with MSG Network.
So, obviously a player, you've been a GM, you've been an analyst as well, now in the league office. Did you always want to be full career basketball? Like, you went to Drexel, so I assume at one point you wanted to be an engineer. I don't know. was it always full career basketball?
Yeah. It's like once the Sixers won it in 83, man, I knew I wanted to be around the game of basketball for my entire life. And once I got, further along in basketball, I learned different ways I could stay around the game. And I would say by the time I was a player in the NBA, I knew that even when I retired, I wanted to stay around the game in some capacity. So I started working towards that. And, one thing led to another. And, you know, here I am today.
Wow. And then, Malik, probably the most intense question we'll ask you. When it comes to chicken wings, are you ranch or blue cheese?
God, dude, I am blue cheese, man. No, I can't stand ranch dressing.
Oh, there you go. My man.
All right. Right answer.
Hey, Malik, we hope to talk to you again, man. This was so much fun. Hey, good luck in Orlando, and we really appreciate you coming on with us.
Hey, thanks for having me. You guys enjoy the weekend.
Malik, right. We'll see you soon, buddy. Appreciate it.
All right, take care.
All right.
Appreciate it. That That's great, man. I mean, talking about local guy done good, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and when Malik was here announcing, mm-hmm. He and I had many, 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 many conversations. He knew he wanted to be in the league.
Wow.
Not that he was shunning his announcing at all. He was great at it and all, but he wanted to. And like he and I would talk about it, and there was a certain executive here who he just couldn't get to talk to him about it, and he didn't understand why. Like, Malik had to jump through some hoops to finally get to where he wanted to do, and he did, and all it takes is, you talk about opening the doors to people and just saying, wow, that's what you have to do. Not that Malik didn't bust down a door because he deserved it, but you talk to Malik like we just did for 5 minutes, you see the impressiveness of him.
Oh, he's great.
And he is, and I'm not kidding about that story in San Antonio.
Yeah.
Like, I was walking with him and a fan pulled me aside, like, you know Malik? I said, yeah. Oh, man, he is the best Malik. And people were going nuts. David Robinson couldn't get to him quick enough. Timmy Duncan, they're sprinting to him to hug him. And, oh, man, Malik's the best. He is such a good dude. And the NBA made a great, great hire by getting him.
I remember Zoo talking about it on the broadcasts. When they'd go down to San Antonio.
Oh, my God. I couldn't believe it.
He would say, like, the mayor of San Antonio, Malik Rose.
Yeah.
Like, that's the way people... Yeah, I remember people talking about
it. Like, him talking to David Robinson on a court and a group of fans yelling Malik's name. And I'm like, maybe Robinson's here all the time? And then Tony Parker told me, he's like, no, he's not here an awful lot.
Right.
That's how much Malik's loved.
I don't want this to sound like I'm portraying anyone or any group as confident to the point of arrogance, but this is the amount of confidence you want to have in an organization before they host NBA teams.
Yeah.
The NBA feels like they have this nailed down. They're not arrogant to the point where they're ignoring how fluid the situation is. I don't want to misconstrue the point, but they're as confident as you would want an organization to be, any workplace to be, in inviting their employees to go work for them at a different campus.
Yeah.
They're as confident as you would want them to be before you go work for them.
And that's directly because of Adam Silver. And guys like Malik Rose, who are just above and beyond smart and know what to do and how to do it.
When's the last time we could talk about a commissioner in the light that we talk about Adam Silver? I don't know. It's
probably been a while. I mean, David Stern did great, great things.
Yeah, even in the midst of.
But, yeah.
He was still, like, even in the midst of, we looked at David Stern like, this guy.
Yes, like, you're right.
But
yeah.
In retrospect, even towards the end of his career, he was still getting booed. One of my favorite things David Stern ever did was cheer on the people, like egg on the people that were booing him in the last draft. And I thought that was great. He's like, come on, is that all you got? Let's go, people. Come on. Even when they started to tail off, he was like, hey, where's the booze? Let's go.
Yeah.
Like, I love that. But even in retrospect, he had probably the greatest thing you could ever do for any sport ever was what he did with the Dream Team in 92. Which was, yeah, I want my pros playing. Go ahead and play overseas. Guess what? I'm going to expand the game globally.
Oh, yeah.
Greatest thing.
He's probably the greatest commissioner of our lifetime.
Yeah, in all honesty, probably is.
Yeah.
But when you look at a guy like Adam Silver, I can't remember a guy that seems like he's this universally loved by people in the league and the people around the league.
Yeah.
I knew I was really going to like Adam Silver when he was asked. I think Molly Sullivan asked him the question during a broadcast about gambling. And he was like the first commissioner I remember going like, gambling's great. I love it.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, gambling. Oh, no. Oh, God, not gambling. He was like embracing it. And then next thing you know, you saw the advertisements on the mic during post-game press conferences. The advertisements for gambling were up there. And then you also, the way he handled, as Malik Rose pointed out, the whole situation with Donald Sterling. That situation came out. 4 days later, it was dealt with and he was out.
Yeah. And it's small things. You know, he comes to town, Silver, but, you know, he would walk up to me, to maybe a Keith Pompey, by himself, like just passing, and know who you are. Mm. Hey, Bob, how you doing? How's things? You know, everything going okay? You know, sure, he's briefed beforehand and all that stuff, but to remember, in a hallway with nobody really else around, that's impressive.
Right.
And it's small things like that, but also, obviously, the bigger stuff that you talked about.
I know it's minor, but do you guys remember AI's banner retirement ceremony when he got introduced? He got booed because we're just so used to booing commissioners. But he had such a good speech that by the end of it, everybody was cheering for him because you could tell this guy wasn't just doing fluff at you. He was actually a big Allen Iverson fan.
Wow. I don't remember that. I'll have to go back and watch that because I do like Adam Silver. And this is
what college did he go to?
Adam Silver? He went to Temple University. I don't know. Where did he go?
Down to Duke.
Oh.
He's a dookie. He's a dookie. I knew that would turn you off because you were so glowing about Adam Silver. I had to bring you back down a little bit.
Probably the worst commissioner in the sports right now.
You know what the problem is? No one respects him. That's the problem. I mentioned before the break that I was going to watch the Moises Alou injury. Mm-hmm. Have you seen it?
I don't remember.
It's one of those things where the ankle's not supposed to go that way.
Oh, yeah, I do. And he literally...
He held it and he disbelief.
Held it up in the air and was going, it was making a 90-degree turn the way you're not supposed to.
Yeah, I've never seen it. That's a good one.
I remember that one, yeah. I don't know if that's a... What were we classifying this as, a freak injury or a weird injury?
I forget. To be honest,
that's a gruesome injury.
Oh, we talked to Evander Holyfield. I think somebody brought. No,
was the original?
You
Pat?
Brought up the thing about the injury.
Yeah, what was it? It was. I don't remember.
All right, thanks.
Remember when you were so good?
Remember when you were shaming Jamie a second ago? The big sexy report has to. I have to give it to my mom. For the line about the honeybees.
That was an uncomfortable sentence.
Really was strange.
The honeybees. The line she had on the honeybees.
That was pretty good.
Because I know she wrote it at probably like 6:21 in the morning, right before 6:30 mass on Facebook, I think it is. And and then she called with it. So
I just inched away from you because that was weird.
But
he gave his mom the big sexy.
I
feel really uncomfortable.
She gave us the big sexy report. Is that the better way to say it?
Okay.
Probably the better way to say it. Brought to you by the Delilah's Gentleman's Club and Steakhouse.
Get out of here.
On top. Why? We're all having fun here.
I don't want to talk about my mom.
This is tool of the week.
Tool of the week. I'm going to have to go. Geez, that's a tough one this week.
Oh, no, it's not. Tuscaloosa.
Mm.
You know, I don't like going pandemic just because it's, you know,
I get it. It's
thing.
Low-hanging fruit. When you intentionally seek it out, you become a tool.
There's a financial reward for it. All right, fine. Tuscaloosa, Alabama, the kids getting together with the COVID spreading parties. That is our tool of the week. They are our tools of the week, brought to you by Hollett's True Value and Garden Center. If you need it, Hollett's has it. Pat Egan, what was the final on our Twitter poll today, brought to you by Window Nation? Call 1-866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
Yeah, so if you head on over to our Twitter account at 975 Mornings, you could find the Twitter poll. And the final, we actually had two, Mark. We had who will be the Sixers MVP when the season resumes. Ben Simmons won out with 42%. 41% Joel Embiid, so that's shocking that they were really neck and neck there. Shake Milton with 13% and 4% for other/write-in. And the other one was, should Bob Cooney watch Eurovision?
Oh, yeah. How we do?
46% say no, it's horrible. 25% say, yeah, watch it. And 29% said, it was meh.
So he should definitely watch this movie.
Well, I'm going to give it a shot.
If you combine yes, watch it, and it was meh, more people say watch it.
That's the majority. Yeah,
exactly.
That's 52-54%. Yeah.
Pat Egan, what's your takeaway of the day?
It's me and my wife's wedding anniversary, so I apologize to her because 4 years ago she made the worst decision of her life.
I know it was your anniversary. It's why I got you a present of an open box of chicken biscuits. Congratulations. I didn't realize it was your anniversary. Congratulations.
Allegedly. I didn't care.
Allegedly. James Lynch.
Have a safe and happy 4th of July weekend, everyone. And don't be an idiot.
Fine point.
Yep.
Bob Cooney.
Eurovision. Here I come.
All right.
Yeah.
Remember, the line is 18 and a half minutes. That's the line.
From the start, we will hit the stopwatch, and I'll let you know when I give the look of that's it, I'm out.
There you go.
Might be 2 hours later.
My takeaway of the day is ya-ya ding dong. Ya-ya ding dong. That's my takeaway of the day. Have an awesome weekend. Yes, stay safe, everybody. Happy 4th of July time. Stay tuned for Andrew. Are you hosting?
Andrew is hosting.
Andrew Salchunas hosting the Anthony Gargano Show here on 975 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.